Well, good morning. Great to be with you all this morning, worshiping, sensing God's presence in the midst of the praise of his people. It's good to worship and to pray. If you have your scriptures with you, please turn to Luke. We're in the gospel according to Luke chapter 8, verses 16 to 21. As you're turning there, just a big thank you to the youth leaders, to Megan and Jared and Jonathan. They took us up, some of the youth and some of the parents, up to New Covenant this past week. Got to hear from Dr. Stephen Nichols from Ligonier Ministries, an intro to apologetics for the youth, of how do we know that the Bible's true, why is Jesus the only way, what about the other religions, and how to navigate social media. So I was blessed. I thank you for taking the time to do that. It was a great evening this past Thursday. Last week, for those who were with us or listened online, we walked through the parable of the sower, or what some call the parable of the soils. A parable meant to give Jesus' people a proper understanding of how lives are changed and what we should expect when we share the Word of God with others around us. In that parable last week, we discussed we are called to share the word with everyone, knowing that not everyone will be ready to receive it as believers. Jesus gave the story, the illustration of the seed being the word of God, and we sow it wherever we go. Sometimes it falls along the path in which we walked, and that represents the devil that's being able to come and take away the seed or the herd, so the dull listeners would not be able to hear or understand. We scatter the word of God onto hearts that have shallow soil, he said, and it seems like people believe the message, maybe like you hear at a Billy Graham crusade or a Christian concert, that are caught up in the excitement. They show some faith, but when testing, trials, and persecutions come, it reveals they never really believed. And then we share the word of God with others, and it seems to fall on hearts that believe, but then the thorns of this world, the idols of the world, choke it. Riches and pleasures, revealing that they did not have a love of God, but just a love of self-interest. And then lastly, said some of the word of God fell into hearts ready to receive it. And everything for them changes. They hold fast to it with honesty and sincerity. Two great words to think about as we hear the word of God this morning. Are we desiring it honestly and sincerely, being changed and desiring to be changed by the Spirit of God? And so this morning, Jesus tells another story to go alongside this parable to help us to understand what happens to an individual who receives and embraces the word of God. What happens to the person who's ready, who receives and embraces the word of God? That's what we'll look at this morning. We'll pray, and then we'll read the text. Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray that as we begin, that you would give us ears to hear what you say in your powerful word. That this isn't just listening to another teacher. That as we read your word, that as we hear your word, that we hear you, Jesus. Lord, help us to understand, to embrace the power, the truth, and the glories of what you present and feed and fuel to your people through your truth. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would keep the evil one away who would come and try to take up what's being read and heard. I pray that you would give us hearts that are ready to receive by your powerful Spirit. That when life takes different expectations or doesn't meet our expectations, or our dreams are shattered of what life would be like, that we would still trust in your word, knowing that you have a good and perfect plan for your people. That our hearts would be ready to receive and not easily turn to idols of pleasures or riches or other self-interest idols that we put in the way. But we would have ears to hear your word this morning. and we would begin to shine, perhaps for the first time, or just a little brighter. The glorious truths and the reflections of Christ this morning. So speak to each of us individually, and us corporately as your people around this world who hear your word of God today and every day. This is experience with the holy God of the universe. Do your will, do your pleasure. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So Luke 8, we'll start actually at verse 15 this morning. Jesus says, as for that in the good soil, the word that falls into the good soil, there are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made and come to known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mothers and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd, and he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. And he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. This ends the reading of God's holy, inerrant, unchanging word. So what happens to individuals who receive and embrace the word of God with honesty and sincerity? Jesus says, it's like you have been set on fire with the mercy and grace and glory of Christ. It's like you're a small oil lamp in those old days that's been lit to give light to a dark room, like a candle in our day that when the power goes out, you light it so you can see. When God prepares the heart and it receives the word of God, believing the truth that Jesus is the way, that he is the truth, that he is the life, you become a light that shines. You've been brought out from a kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of light. You'll begin to be able to tell people who are lost that Jesus is the way. You'll be able to tell people who live in a world of all kinds of opinions and ideas and truths that Jesus is the truth. You'll be able to tell people who are hopeless that Jesus is life. Paul would write it this way in Ephesians 5 and 1 Thessalonians. He would say, for one time you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Like a nightlight in a child's room, like a flashlight on your phone, like a campfire in the evening, like a candle in the midst of the dark room, you are giving the watching world a sight to see of what is good, beautiful, strong, meek, true, humble, and loving. What it means to be people created in the image of God. You become a life that reflects the glory of Christ, a life that shines the living hope of Christ. And it's not to be hidden. It's not to have a flashlight where there's darkness and not choosing to use it. Jesus says, no one after lighting a lamp covers it. That would be silly. You put it right there in the middle of the room on the stand for others to see, to make their way around. You who know Jesus, you who know that he is the way, the truth, and the life, you are not to hide it. It's not useful to anyone at all. It's kind of saying, don't be like the exercise equipment in your house that just sits in the corner not being used, that's not helpful at all. Be a light. Shine. Give the hope of Christ for others to see. Be transformed in your knowledge. Be transformed in your holiness. Be transformed in your righteousness as you seek to know Christ and let it shine to others. Reflect the image of God, to reflect the glory of Christ, letting people know that He is the Good Shepherd, that He is living water, that He is the bread of life, that He is the great I Am, that He is the resurrection and the life, that He is the image of God, that He is the light of the world. By God's undeserved grace and mercy, you who have experienced His forgiveness, His justification, His peace, His hope beyond the grave, mercies each day, His word that guides you for each day, a word that speaks to every aching of the human heart, you who have been given these treasures and mercies, He says, shine that beautiful light in this world that's full of darkness. In a world where people are so demeaning, so ridiculing, so name-calling, so vengeful, so grudgeful, so full of death and hopelessness and sin, the world needs the light of Christ. People of truth, people of hope, people of compassion, mercy, kindness, and forgiveness. And as the light of the world, you don't produce your own light. It's something that God puts inside of you by the Holy Spirit. You're reflecting the work that's being done in you and growing in you. We reflect what Christ is doing in us, like the moon reflects the light of the sun. We are to reflect the glories of Christ. We're to reflect the glorious radiance of Jesus as we grow in Him. Because He says in verse 17, He says, "For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light." What's He saying? He's saying, shine. Call people to faith and repentance now. Don't be afraid to tell people that they are lost in darkness if they don't follow Christ. Because if we don't warn them now, if we don't expose them now because we're afraid, they will be exposed on the day of judgment with all their sins. Jesus wants you and me to help people now being exposed to God's light before the great day of judgment. He says nothing is hidden that's not going to be made known. Jesus did this in His ministry, and He's calling you and I as well to do this in His ministry. R.C. Sproul says, "We might think there's nothing sillier than to hide a lamp after we light it. But there is something sillier, thinking we can find a place in this universe to hide from the Almighty God. No such place exists." He says we can go into the darkest hole in the universe and still not escape the gaze of God. And this morning, perhaps God wants to expose some things in your heart, in your life, things that you're doing that you think are hidden from His sight, doing such a great job of hiding it from those closest to you. But God sees. He knows. And He says, stop. He says, turn from that way of death. He calls you to repent. He calls you to turn to Christ again. He says, come to His gracious light now. Don't face the hand of His discipline. Don't face the hand of His judgment. Nothing hidden. You're not going to hide it. He knows. In His grace, He comes to you to draw you out of it, to awaken you, to save you. Jesus says in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Who has God put around you so that you could be a light to them? To expose them to their great need in Christ. To expose them to the glorious hope that's in Christ. Could you write down two people? Could you write down five people within the next week? In the next month, you could share a testimony, you could share the Christ with them, the gospel. He says, you're the light of the world. Last week we're farmers, right? We're sowing. This week you're light. You're light called to shine. And he says, don't hide it. Put it right there in the middle of the room to see. Reflect the glory and truths of Christ. And the second thing we see is that our reflection will enhance or diminish depending on how you hear the word of God. He says in verse 18, he says, take care then how you hear. One who has more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Philip Ryken, he helps us in understanding the difference between this, those who have and those who have not. He says, for the one who have, people make good use of what Jesus says and will be given to understand even more. And those who have not, they think they know the truth. They claim to be Christians. They go to church. They sit through sermons, receive the sacraments, but they're not living the gospel. Their religion does not do them any good because they're not making good daily use of what they've been given. They're just as angry and selfish and bitter as ever. He's saying your reflection will enhance or diminish depending on how you hear the word of God. Take care, he says. Take care how you hear. I don't know if you ever considered that on a Sunday morning. How am I going to hear what that boring pastor up there has to say? Our Westminster Larger Catechism, number 160, is glorious. He said, it asks this question, how should one hear the preaching of the word of God? He said, it's required of those that hear the word preach that they attend to it with diligence, preparation, prayer. Examine what they hear by the scriptures. Receive the truth with faith, love and meekness, readiness and mind. As the word of God, meditate on it, confer of it, hide it in their hearts, and bring it forth, the fruit in their lives. It's beautiful. It's, again, Westminster Larger Catechism 160. If you want to look up something later on this week or this afternoon. Ask yourself, when I come to worship on Sunday morning or when I study it through the week, do I do it with diligence, with preparation, with prayer? Do I receive it or do I ignore it? Do I meditate on it? Do I try to hide it in my heart to prepare me for the temptations that will come? Do I seek to live out the fruit of it in my life? Are you hungry for the Word of God, knowing it will fuel you to shine brighter for Christ? We hear His words on Sunday mornings through worship, but we need to spend time in His Word through the week. I think of Moses. When Moses would spend time with God, people would actually have to shield their eyes and tell Moses to put on a veil because he was so close to the glory and the radiance of God and spending time with Him that he would just have this glow and radiance about it. As we spend time with Christ, people will see it. They will know it. They will recognize it in our lives, our words, our actions, our attitudes. They saw it in Acts 4:13 when Peter and John were preaching. They perceived they were uneducated men. They were common men. They were astonished by these men. They recognized, it says, they had been with Jesus. When you spend time with Jesus, you'll shine brighter. As Jesus spoke of John the Baptist, he says he was a burning and shining lamp. And you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. And what was John doing? He was proclaiming the truth of God. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. Pointing people to Jesus. The closer you walk to Jesus, the brighter your reflection. The further away you get from his word, not hearing it properly, not hearing it enough, your reflection will grow duller and duller and duller. At times you'll be bright as the sun, and other times you will go to a state where you just can't stand to hear the word of God and be at the lowest of lows. But if you're one of his people, you're still shining. I don't know about you, but as I get older, I get more and more forgetful. We're forgetful sheep. And we need to hear God's word continually. We need to fuel ourselves on the truths of God's promises. Some of you know my favorite passage of all the scripture is Psalm 25. It's a psalm of just walking with the Lord. And he says in Psalm 25, verse 4, he says, "Make me to know your ways. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Teach me. Teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. I wait for you all the day long." He leads the humble in what is right. He teaches the humble his way. The paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. Kevin DeYoung, he writes, he says, "Really, in the simplest form, we ought to come to the Word of God with the same sort of attitude which we'd come to God Himself. If God spoke to you, which He does in His Scriptures, if God opened His mouth to us, how would we approach Him? I think we would listen carefully. We would listen diligently. We would listen submissively. We would listen expectantly. And we'd listen with an aim to love and obey. Your reflection will enhance or diminish depending how you hear the Word of God. How's your reflection? How are you shining? How do others see you? Are you professing with your mouth and professing with your life?" He says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." In verse 19, he says, his mother and his brothers came to him. They could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." He answered them, My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." He's saying those who really have a relationship with me. It's more than just outward physicality. But those who hear the word of God and do it. Jesus' mothers and brothers had some concern. They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to reach him. Yes, Mary had many children after the virgin birth of Christ. Many of those family members thought Jesus was out of his mind early on in his ministry, but many came to faith after his resurrection. He said, they said to Jesus, "They're outside. They want to talk to you." And he's impressing on this idea of shining, of hearing, and doing. He says, those who are closest to me, those who really have a relationship with me, are those who not only hear, but do it. Do you hear it, and do you do it? J.C. Ryle writes, he says, "The gospel which we possess was not given to us only to be admired, talked of, and professed, but to practice. It's not merely to reside in our intellect and our memories and tongues, but to be seen in our lives." Is there an area in your walk with Christ that you're not surrendering to Jesus, knowing he disapproves? Are you sure that you are in proper fellowship with Christ, that not only do you hear the gospel, that you hear the ways of Christ, but you're seeking to grow in Christ. John would write in 1 John, whoever says he's in the light says he hates his brother, hates his spouse, hates his kid, hates his coworker, hates his other brother in Christ. If you say those things and do those things, you're still in darkness. But whoever loves his brother, his spouse, his kid, his coworker, his brother in Christ abides in the light. And there's no cause for stumbling. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Strive for holiness, all the while completely depending on him and his work on the cross. Striving to do the right thing while confessing our sins and seeking forgiveness when we fail. This is hearing and doing the word of God. As Philip Ryken reminds us, we use the law to guide us to confess our sins, to teach us how to live. We make use of the doctrine of election to drive us to humility. Remember that we didn't deserve God's grace and mercy. We use the doctrine of justification to live free from any attempt to make our standing on our own works with God, resting on Christ and Him alone. Make use of the doctrine of sanctification, knowing that we are to grow practically in our holiness, learning to live with charity and purity and generosity. Make use of the doctrine of the perseverance of saints, being steadfast under trial. And make use of the doctrine of glorification, waiting for Christ's return. Do you hear and do you do the word of God? Have you trusted in Christ and desire to follow him? If so, in the same way, he says, let your light shine before others. Let me see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This little light of mine, are you going to let it shine? This little light of mine, will you let it shine? Hide it under a bushel. Please don't. Say as we do as children, no. Let your loved ones, let your family, let your neighbors see the light of Christ shining on you, shining through you. It's Christ, the hope of glory, the hope of salvation. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Receive his word. Hear his word. Be fueled by his word. Become a person who reflects the glory of Christ, be in his word, let that reflection grow brighter and brighter, and seek to do his will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need your grace and mercies continually and daily. Lord, help us to live through the truths that we are forgiven in Christ alone. That he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. That we are to strive for holiness, beauty, truth, and love, and forgiveness and compassion. Growing in these things of truth and grace. Putting to death what is sinful in our lives. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would shine in our hearts, exposing things that we think are hidden. Reminding us that nothing can be hidden from your sight. It will be exposed. It will be brought to light. And you say, confess it now. Bring it to me now. Turn from it and be saved. Help us to see the glories of Christ in the midst of the darkness that he felt as he was on the cross, as he would go unto the cross to be our sacrifice. To bear the weight of the wrath that we deserved. To cry out, it is finished and paid in full. That we would receive it and cry out like the thief on the cross, Jesus, remember me. Knowing that we have nothing to offer. But Jesus can change everything. Give us hearts to hear, hearts to receive it, hearts to be set on fire. to be brought into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray in his mighty name. Amen.